athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
This is Box to Row, and I am your host, Donald Ware. Got a good show for you. You know, I think we have good shows each time we come on. At least we think so, but we want to give you a good show. And I think on today's show, we've got a really good show, I think, because important conversations are being had, right? And that has happened really the last, ever since George Floyd. We've been having some important conversations. Some things are beginning to change. Things are we're making progress. Nowhere near where we need to be, but we're making progress. And I think, again, for me, the next topic of conversation has to be about reparations. That aside, on today's program, as a matter of fact, on last week, it's interesting, I got a press release from the sports information director, or the assistant athletic director for communications at North Carolina Central, Kyle Serber. And in that press release, it stated that Kentucky head coach John Calipari had endowed a John McClendon Minority Leadership Institute scholarship at North Carolina Central. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Reached out to the University of Kentucky. One thing led to another. Coach Cal actually requested that SIAC Commissioner Greg Moore be a part of the conversation. He was, and so last Thursday had a Zoom call with both John Calipari and Greg Moore, the commissioner of the SIAC. Going to replay that interview today here on the program. Thank you to all the great affiliates around the country that carry From the Press Box to Press Row. For instance, Hot 97.9 FM in Raleigh, those that listen to us on Sirius XM channel 142, and those that listen to us around the world at BoxToRow.com. Without further ado, the interview that I had with Kentucky head men's basketball coach John Calipari and SIAC Commissioner Craig Moore.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, thank you, Donald. Long time no see, my friend.
It has been. It's been a while, Commissioner Moore. As a matter of fact, I think the last time I saw you was either at one of the SIAC media days, or maybe at the SIAC tournament some years and years and years ago. But let's talk about, let's start here with the McClendon Minority Leadership Initiative. And it's interesting, Coach Cal, because I got an email from North Carolina Central stated that you endowed the scholarship for North Carolina Central. I want to also talk about how Commissioner Moore got you involved, but why was that important for you to endow that scholarship to NCCU?
Well, it was important for we coaches because there's over 60, 70 coaches now, including football coaches, that are involved in this initiative. And we, Greg Moore, Greg, how many times have we talked on this?
At least a few dozen times, Coach.
And Greg was one of my first calls to say, Greg, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Tell me what it sounds like, what it looks like, and what do you think the impact could be? We went back and forth. Greg then, and again, we've stayed connected because Greg is about solutions. I'm about solutions. And we connected because he came up and said, how about solutions for the SIAC? How about we feed the pipeline and we help you do what you're doing? How about we include 25 of our HBCUs? How do we do this together? Which is the big picture of this. So NCCU, North Carolina Central, their gym's named after John McClendon. This is housed, this initiative, in the John McClendon Fund. Now, many listeners here may know about John McClendon. If you don't, do me a favor and Google Coach John McClendon. When you read about John McClendon as a pioneer African-American coach who was the first to coach at a predominantly white school, was the first African-American to coach professional basketball, won two national titles at Tennessee State. You read about they played Duke in a secret game. I mean, he was the coach. Fast break basketball was developed by John McClendon. How about this one? You know, the fourth corner offense, the North Carolina, Phil Ford, you remember that? Wait a minute. That was John McClendon's offense before it was Dean Smith's offense. So to be able, and he was an administrator, well-respected. Larry Brown, who played for him on the Olympic team, said he was the hardest coach I've ever played for. He said, and he never raised his voice. What? What did you just say? He said he never raised his voice and was the hard. I said, what made it so tough? He said, you ran and ran and ran and pressed and ran. He said, it was the toughest I've ever. So I say all that. This initiative is for future minority leaders and decision makers. How do we get a pipeline going? How do we know we have no diversity problem on the fields, but we have it in administration. And so to get coaches together, both black and white, to say we are going to be the point of funding, we will send money to the McClendon Fund. We will get positions on each of our campuses. Kentucky's going to have five. We had to have the first HBCU involved, and why not where the gym was named after John McClendon? My hope is all 25 HBCUs are involved in this. We have tons of candidates that apply for these positions from the HBCUs that look at it and say, I wouldn't have a chance. I have no access and opportunity. I don't have the connections. They're not going to hire someone like me. This is for men and women, women too, that look at this and say, I haven't had a chance to show who I am, what I am. I just need an opportunity. And then they go take advantage of their chance. They go work so hard that they show who they are. And the access and opportunity is what this is all about. And Greg, you may want to chime in because like I said, every step of the way, Greg and I had a conversation. And let me just say this. Greg knows he needs solutions and he's looking left and right. We even did a business call together, Greg. How was that call? That call was phenomenal. I had more fun on that call than ever. But Greg, go ahead. You can chime in on this.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, Donald, you see why Coach recruits so many five-star recruits, right?
I mean, do. He's taking over the show, but I'm okay with that. You know?
I mean, I'm ready to lace him up for him, man. As a former old beat up Division III ball player, I'm ready to run some wind sprints for him. But Coach's passion is infectious, and I like to remind people that this, you know, he's not new to this discussion. He's actually helped put money in our schools pre George Floyd. You know, letting our schools play against his Kentucky team at Rupp Arena, and literally putting money into the coffers of our athletic departments. Just most recently, Kentucky State was able to play at Rupp Arena earlier this year.
Morehouse too, Greg.
Morehouse has played there, and Coach, Coach has been involved in these discussions going back to 2010-11. I believe he appeared at Ebenezer Baptist Church here in Atlanta in connection with the discussion on this topic. So this is not something that you know, he's new to. Very passionate, very sincere, and that's one of the things that attracted me to him. To Coach's point, we've been having some discussions in the marketplace. We've recently had a call. I'm not at liberty to discuss the company, but phenomenal call. And, you know, Coach brought enormous energy and passion and sincerity and authenticity to the discussion. So it's been really a great honor, you know, working with him to try to move this dialogue forward. And Donald, you know this, you know, historically Black colleges have for years provided the super majority of Black professional sports administrators almost across every vertical. I think, like, for example, in Division II, I think the last time I checked it, a couple years ago, you had about 160 football programs, Donald. I think 38 of the Black head football coaches were African American. Like 33 of them were at HBCUs. So if you were to remove HBCUs from that equation, I think you would have like 6 out of 160. That number, right, relative to the fact that approaching 60% of the student athletes are African American, it's just a terrible, you know, ratio of talent to coaches. And when you look at, again, across all the different verticals, basketball coaches, football coaches, commissioners, athletic directors, you see these ratios that are way out of whack. And sadly enough, Richard Lapchick, who runs you know, sports think tank out of Central Florida, you know, he gives grades to every organization in terms of their diversity inclusion record, you know, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA. He's consistently given the lowest grades to college sports. So, you know, this is clearly, you know, pre-George Floyd, post-George Floyd. This is clearly an issue that screams out for attention. And the biggest challenge I think historically Black colleges have had is getting the kind of engagement from the folks that can kind of move the conversation forward with a great deal of velocity. It's been a struggle. So to get someone of Coach Calipari's stature, Hall of Fame basketball coach, to join this conversation and raise visibility, people like Michelle Roberts at the NBA Players Association, through our partnership to try to get more former players coaching opportunities, first-time coaching opportunities. You know, it's been really a labor of love for me.
More of the conversation with Coach Cal and SIAC Commissioner Greg Moore on the other side.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
DC, Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, huge knockout in the first fight, you know, but that's the thing about the UFC, right? The UFC is built on rivalry. And this Miocic rivalry that I have, this will be the fight that determines who is the greatest UFC heavyweight of all time. This is a big, big moment for Stipe and I. You know, both of us have so much riding on this fight in terms of our legacy. You know, I mean, I lay in my bed and I think about the first fight. And I think about the second fight, and I think about what, if anything, I can do to ensure that the third fight goes the way that I need it to.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports, and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
We're back here on the program. Let's pick up the conversation with Kentucky head men's basketball coach John Calipari and SIAC Commissioner Greg Moore. Fascinating conversation.
That the voice of the commissioner of the SIAC, Gregory Moore, joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row, along with Kentucky head men's basketball coach John Calipari, or Coach Cal. And, you know, the thing about it, Coach Cal, is an interesting point that Commissioner Moore brings up, because you're one that walks the walk. Like, to the point, even before George Floyd, you were doing your two top coaches are black coaches. So can you sort of speak to that as one that really is one who is walking the walk?
Well, first of all, when you say that, Donnell, we also have a weight strength coach. We also have a trainer. We also have video. We have secretaries. We have personal assistants. We do have assistant coaches, but I probably oversee 15 positions. The question, first of all, is how does your own house look?
Right.
And I know what my house has looked like for 20 years.
That's right.
So it starts in your own house. But let me say this. I've been this way for this long because, and my wife and I know this, and I said this over and over, the only reason I've had any success, the only reason, Donnell, you know me, the only reason is because African-American families have entrusted me with their sons. That's it. No, I'm not sitting here, or you're not talking to me. And if I think that it's about me and what I've been able to do, then I got this backwards. So this initiative came from, and I'll be honest with you, it started like we were just going to do this on Kentucky's campus. Sure. I was going to invest the money, and we were going to have 8 of these positions with 4 next year. We've now shifted to having 5 because we do it right. These campuses. But all of a sudden we looked and said, this could be scalable. Where could we house it? The John McClendon Fund, which is in NACTA, which is in the Athletic Directors Association. And John McClendon Fund has been in existence for a while. This initiative will be housed under it in a different way. But, you know, I get it. I see it. I know it. And now the question is, aren't we all tired of talk? Yeah. How about people putting out position papers? Greg and I laugh. I mean, we send them back and forth. Greg's is about solutions. Basketball coaches, most coaches, I see the problem. I'm looking at it. How do we try to create something that begins to solve the problem? In this, I don't know if it's an answer. I think it's going to go beyond athletics and become about business and future leaders who want to also own businesses. How about want to get into politics? They're going to learn about leadership and decision making. That's what we're trying to develop, but it's through real work experience. All right, so we look at this and we're saying, all right, it may not be the answer, but right now it's a step and it's a solution because I think everybody, we're all like, okay, enough talk. What are you going to do? We coaches now, and I'm talking some of the biggest football coaches, Herm Edwards, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Lovie Smith, Jimbo Fisher. They're all in this. Like, they're in this. And so now the top basketball coaches, I could go right down the list. What we have to do is get outside in money, matching funds for some of the smaller schools that want to be in this. How do we get Division II and III schools in this? Do those schools say, well, we don't have the money, but we'll house them and feed them, and you help us with stipends? Okay, maybe that's the solution. Right now, we're going to have, well, it's about 70 coaches involved in it right now, and it's about almost 60 schools. My hope is that's double and triple as we go forward. Coaches have committed to multiple years because this is not optics. We're all trying to do something to make ourselves feel better. No, this is about a program. Where is it in 10 years and what's it look like? What's the data say?
Yeah, your thoughts, Commissioner Moore.
No, he's exactly right. And, you know, to coach's point, you know, one of my frustrations as a commissioner of approaching 11 years, you know, and this is not a popular thing to say, but, you know, I think inclusion has been a topic to which a significant amount of lip service has been paid, but not enough action. And and Donald, you know, I've always submitted to folks that, you know, people really, they really don't understand what inclusion is. I think the problem with most inclusion efforts is people come to the inclusion discussion with an assumption that inclusion is kind of, it means lowering standards to bring people of different backgrounds into different positions. That's actually not what it is. Inclusion, in my view, is casting as broad a possible net and not being very narrow-minded with respect to, or lazy for that matter, with respect to how you define what qualifications means. And I give examples in the sports world of two examples of organizations that practice inclusion. The Boston Celtics with Red Auerbach and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Celtics were the first to, to draft an African-American player, Chuck Cooper. They were the first to have 5 black players on the court during in the early 60s. First organization to hire an African-American coach, Bill Russell. And oh, by the way, they've also, won 16, 17 championships. I don't think Coach Auerbach was doing this to be Father Flanagan. He was, Sam Jones from HBCU. His idea was, I'm going to try to find talent anywhere and everywhere I can find it. And I'm not going to bring to that search any preconceived notions to what qualifications means. Same with the Steelers. They were the first team to hire a black head scout, Bill Nunn Sr. from the Pittsburgh Courier. He's put together those All-American teams. One of the first to bring in, African-American quarterbacks. The Rooney Rule is a byproduct of the Rooney family. Oh, and by the way, they've won 7 Super Bowls. So, my sense is that a lot of folks don't understand. Oh, and by the way, during the 70s, those Steel Curtain teams, you know this, Donald, loaded with HBCU alumni.
Yeah. L.C. So, Greenwood and others, sure.
Correct. So their idea was like, hey, listen, we're not going to have this narrow-minded sense of what qualifications is. And I'll just make one final point on that particular point. To me, the metaphor would be, say you're looking for, you're trying to hire, fill a position of NFL tight end, right? That's the position you're trying to fill. And you put down the qualifications, must have played in the Power 5 school or 6'5", different kind of, 80 receptions, averaging 80 receptions, this X number of touchdowns, Y number of yards. To me, inclusion is saying, there's a guy who plays basketball at Kent State. Who's the tight end, Donald, from the Chargers, who didn't play any high? Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
He's never played football. But you know what? This guy has all the skill sets to be successful as a football player. So he may not have played. He doesn't check all the boxes that you put in the job posting. But guess what? He has all the skill sets that translate into success. Well, Antonio Gates is about to go to the Hall of Fame, even though he never played in football in college. To me, that's what really inclusion means. It means just broadening your sensibility and your perspective with respect to being thoughtful about the actual skill sets and qualifications that it takes to be successful, and not looking at evaluating people through a very narrow prism. That's inclusion to me, and a lot of folks don't embrace that.
Gregory Moore is the commissioner of the SIC. John Calipari is the head men's basketball coach at Kentucky. They both join us here on the program. A couple of more thoughts. I want to ask a couple of individual questions. Coach Cal, for you, one of the things I don't think a lot of people know, which is probably to say that I didn't know this, you were here in our state of North Carolina. You played at UNC Wilmington, finished your career at Clarion, which are two smaller schools. You started, as a head coach at Massachusetts and, of course, went on, and now you're at Kentucky. What does that mean to you to have started, at the smaller universities and then be able, like our HBCUs, and then be able to get to the point you are now?
I got to do one thing. I got to go back with what Greg was talking about.
Okay.
I believe these future leaders are going to be coming to campuses, and people are going to be blown away by what they add, not what we're just helping them with. They're going to be blown away by, wow, including females. We have seven mayors of national cities, big cities, that are African-American women. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see leadership and decision-making and all the stuff they're adding. The next thing I'll tell you, this is a bridge, but it's a bridge that they can stand on both sides now. They can stand on one side and they can stand on the other. It's not just one side. And Greg, I got to bring up Tommy Amaker, because when we did this, my second call after Greg was Tommy to say, you know what? We're going to try to scale this. Will you help me? Will you be my partner in this? Tommy Amaker has been unbelievable. So now, basically, it's not, you're looking at me like this is solely me. It isn't. It's Tommy and I organizing 70 coaches. And when it gets up and running, Tommy and I become one of the 70. And now it's about each campus doing this. When you ask about me, as a player, Donnell, I was small, but I was slow. So when I say that stuff to you, you ask, well, how did you get involved in coaching? Here I was from Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, Moon Township High School, a Jewish guy from New York, took a liking to me at a basketball camp when I played and had me come back as a counselor, and he lit a fire in me.
John Calipari, Greg Moore will pick up the conversation right there after this small pause for the cause.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
He's Chadwick Boseman, and he joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. You are, in fact, a graduate. What do you remember most about your days at Howard?
Howard is like one of those experiences where you know it's a bubble. You know it's a special moment. Like, I had some great teachers. Felicia Rashad was one of my teachers. You know, I just remember being nurtured to respect Black writers, Black directors, Black actors, as well as the classics. So you got the full scope of what you should experience, and I think that's unique to Howard. I just love the fact that they respected the full scope of it.
Kiki Palmer joining us here on the program.
I've grown in a lot of different ways. I think I've definitely grown as far as my age progression, and that shows that I've literally grown, I guess, on screen, and people have seen me from, you know, a young kid to coming of age into an adult, and I feel like slowly but surely they're not taking that Akilah memory out their head, but realizing Akilah also has grown up. I don't ever want to be typecasted as just the weed hosting girl.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. It's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
That the voice, of course, of T.I. It's some hard times down in the ATL, though, T.I.
Yeah, and that is understood. It wouldn't be the first. Wouldn't be the first nor the worst. But, you know, you got to stay down with the home team, you know.
Nah, no question. I'm still down with the Skins, man. What can I say? They're not doing too well right now.
Well, like,
you know what I mean?
We gotta, hey, look, man, we gotta hold it down so we can get it back right again.
That is the voice of Maria Taylor, ESPN college sports analyst.
College Game Day is a show that I grew up watching, a show that I've always loved. I knew that when I was able to join, I was more than excited. I found out the same week as I turned 30. And it's just something that I never dreamed I would be a part of, but something that I'm so thankful to have under my belt and have done for an entire season. There's nothing like it, honestly.
Hello, I'm Josh Stone, and I'm here chatting to Donald on Thunder Press Box to Press Roll.
Kimber Walker.
A lot more poised now.
know, the game has slowed down, so, you know, I kind of know what to expect. You know, I've been watching a lot of film on our offense and, you know, what plays I can make. You know, I'm just trying to make the best plays possible. When I draw a second defender to me, I know my job is done. I'm just trying my best to find the open guy. You know, the difference is guys are making shots. That's been the biggest difference.
I'm talking about none other than Common.
Well, I ended up in Sam just because I wanted to major in business, and Sam, you had the illustrious school of business. And, I mean, I played high school basketball, but at one point, my career kind of rounded off because I got injured and I wasn't getting as much playing time, so I became impatient. I went to school first starting off with general studies, then I found out that business was the key. That's what I wanted to do. I got into the school of business, and it was definitely a great learning experience for me.
She's regarded as the best gymnast in the world. She's Simone Biles, the ESPN swimsuit edition.
Actually, really fun, like, to be honest. Me and Allie had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful. So that's what we kind of try to do. Mine was just, like, beauty, but also showing muscles. Like, I feel like when little girls look at that, they'll think it's okay to have muscles and be beautiful and, like, sexy at the same time in a good manner. And I think that's what we got across, hopefully. It was great.
Greatest football player to ever play, Jim Brown.
Muhammad Ali was a principal person in the country at the time, and he stood up and said that he was not going to the service because it was against his religion. Mm-hmm. He called all the top black athletes together, along with Carl Stoke, the first black mayor of a major city. So I'm glad you brought that particular incident up.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. Snoop, you Football League has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have grown in Division I.
WWE champion Alexa Bliss. How does one go from being a cheerleader as you were at the Division I level at Akron to being the WWE champion?
Well, after I cheered in Akron, my trainer had told me that WWE was having a tryout, so, and they knew I was a fan. So I went online and I submitted a video to WWE.com. I didn't think anything would come of it, but then I was called and given a tryout. And then after I tried out, I was signed to NXT, and it just kind of became a roller coaster from there.
We're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school. And after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? This is Anthony Anderson, international movie star and funny mother. And you're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at www.boxtorow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row, real, relevant radio. We're back here on the program. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX2ROW. You can also follow us on Instagram at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. Also, you can follow me personally on Twitter at DWare1, at DWare1, or on my Instagram account at WareDonald. Before we get to our third and final segment with Kentucky head men's basketball coach John Calipari and SIAC commissioner Greg Moore. Great conversation, by the way. I want to make note, couple of things as a matter of fact. On August the 20th of 2005 at 5.05 p.m. Eastern, From the Press Box to Press Row came on the air. From the Press Box to Press Row came on the air. And so we're going to be celebrating 15 years on the air on Thursday, August the 20th at 5.05 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, what is that going to look like? 5 years ago, we had when we celebrated 10 years, had a great celebration, had a lot of people come out. We were over at St. Augustine's University in Raleigh. As a matter of fact, on the line, we did a live show Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, carried the program. We had Stephen A. Smith to call in. Great conversation with him. Great conversation with a number of different people in person. So what is that going to look like in 2020? Well, it's going to be a virtual celebration for the most part. So we'll be at a location, which we're going to mention later on. We can't have a lot of people at said location, but what we are going to do is we're going to have a virtual celebration. We've invited a bunch of guests. Some of those guests have been guests on the program here in years past. A lot of the guests you'll know. We won't reveal those guests today. However, we will in the next week or two reveal those guests. It's going to be a great time, a virtual celebration. Very much looking forward to it. We'll have a few people that will be at the location that we will be at. We'll invite just a handful of people. We want to make sure we're social distancing. We want to make sure we're wearing our mask. We're being as safe as possible in this COVID-19 pandemic. But I'm going to tell you what, very much looking forward to the celebration. Again, Thursday, August the 20th, mark your calendars. Thursday, August the 20th, virtually, we're going to give out all the information in the next week or two, and we're going to tell you how you can join and watch the virtual celebration with some of your favorite guests that have been on Box to Row over the years. Now, let's get back to the third and final segment of our conversation, again, with Kentucky head men's basketball coach John Calipari and SIAC Commissioner Craig Moore. Coach Cal was right in the middle of talking about how he really got his career started and really more so as a player.
And so here I am. I only wanted to be a high school coach and teacher. You know why? That's who I looked up to, the high school coaches and teachers. That's all I wanted to do. And this guy got me believing, wait a minute, you can do more than that. Went to college, and all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I was at the camp with really talented coaches. Maybe I can do this. I'm saying we're going to try to light a fire under anybody that says, I've never had a chance. I don't believe I've all that stuff. You have people around you saying you can do this. My mother's comment to me, Donnell, was this. Dream beyond these surroundings. You are not responsible for these surroundings. It's where you were born. You dream beyond this. That's the greatest gift my mother gave us, my sisters and I. My sisters and I are the first college graduates in our family. That's it. So their goal was to make our lives better than their lives. I mean, this probably resonates with most of the listeners out there. And we just want people to apply. You go to minorityleaders.org, minorityleaders.org. If you are a candidate, you have a college degree, you want to get into this, you may have work experience, apply. The jobs aren't even posted yet. And you ready for this? The jobs aren't posted yet. And we already have 150 candidates. We're probably going to have around 70 to 75 positions. If you are a coach and you're interested, minorityleaders.org. If you're a businessman and you want to invest in diversity, minorityleaders.org. Greg and I, and again, if you want to get in touch with Greg Moore about some of the proposals he has, you should do it because he has great things and plans to build and use this moment. And folks, it is a moment. People are telling me, Donnell, and Greg knows this, wait till next year. We got Corona, the athletics. We can't wait. Winds change. We have momentum right now to make a difference. We have to go now. I'm not looking at, well, whether there's a vaccine. No, we need this thing now. What about this? They have to work remotely. We're all having to learn to work remotely. Then they could go to campus the next year or in 6 months. So you could tell I'm enthused. Tommy Amaker's enthused. The coaches are enthused. I'm so happy for North Carolina Central and Lavelle Moton. He's a great coach and a good man. But Greg knows I've had five other calls from HBCU coaches. Will Jones is calling me right now. My phone just rang. Coach Joyner's calling me. We want in. So this, I believe, in 4 to 5 years, this is going to mushroom. My hope is in 10 years, athletic departments, you ready? Look different. They look different. Their leadership looks different, which will lead to improving the numbers that Greg talked about, including, how about this? How about we get 5 times the number of minority ADs? That includes women leading these campuses. And so we can do this, but there's got to be a pipeline. Now, Greg's going to come back and say, we need the pipeline to be fed to feed the pipeline. Greg, am I right?
It's right. Is that what you're going to say, Commissioner?
Well, he just took the words out of my mouth, so yeah.
No, it's awesome. It's great. And you know, for you, Commissioner, you know, speak to how really, you know, the SIAC has really grown under your leadership. And then also, I know you have, along with the other HBCUs, the NBA deal where HBCU players can come have NBA scouts come out and sort of evaluate.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm approaching, 12 years here. And when I started, you know, I had less gray hair and more hair. You know, things have gotten, we have grown. I mean, in approaching 12 years, we've almost tripled our revenue. We've eliminated all of our debt from our balance sheet. We've had, we've increased our sponsorship by approaching 500%. We've added, Savannah State, obviously. We've added Central State. Allen University is coming into the league. Everett Waters has announced an intention to join our league. We've had Spring Hill College in Mobile. So we've grown while other leagues have, across the country have experienced some level of contraction. What I'm most proud of is the things that we've done around inclusion, partnerships with the NFL regarding minority officials, becoming the first league, black, white, or polka dot, to give women an opportunity to officiate football games, and working, going on year four, with Michelle Roberts at the MBPA Players Union to get former players some opportunities. You know, one of the things that I think the union has done a great job at is creating coaching academies for former players who want to get into coaching. Their top 100 camp. I know Coach Cal is aware of that camp, and a lot of those, those camps are by and large run by former players and current players who are looking to make that transition. The challenge with a lot of these former players, once they completed all of the professional development modules, there was nowhere to go. There's no one who would hire them. So again, I'm very proud of the record that we have in giving guys like Darryl Walker, who had 21 interviews before Clark Atlanta gave him an opportunity. Yeah. He won 2 SIAC championships at Clark. He's moved on to the Sun Belt, multi-million dollar deal there. I think they won the Sun Belt last year. Kenny Anderson, giving him a first time opportunity at Fisk University. Obviously Lindsey Hunter, because this partnership with the NBPA, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that we've had a great partner in the SWAC. They've been phenomenal partners. So, they've given opportunities to Mo Williams recently at Alabama State, and obviously Lindsey Hunter at Valley. So, that's worked beautifully. And my sense is that this McClendon initiative could fit squarely within that broader mosaic of inclusion initiatives, to Coach Cal's point, that hopefully in the next 5-10 years can change the face of college athletics in an important way.
I know both of your times are valuable, and we'll get out of here on this. Coach Cal, any last words?
No, I'm just so happy that this thing has caught legs and it's going viral, because my hope is in 10 years for all of us coaches involved, for Tommy and I, people look back 10 years from now and say, wow, that was really cool. And you know what else? That was a great moment in time for us coaches to say, we're going to do something. And that we look at this, and for me personally, the greatest accomplishment. Forget about national titles. Forget about this. It was to be able to come together with Tommy Amaker and Greg Moore and say, let's put something together that's going to make a difference. And then, now we got a lot of work to do, but if we do this right, it's going to work and make a difference. And we all can toast each other and say, we did it for the right reasons. We did it because we're being authentic. We did it because we know we need to do more. And I'll leave this. And Greg, you're my only reservation that I've had walking the boardwalk after talking with Greg. I'm really excited. I was away from campus at the time. And then this thought went in my mind. Why not 10 years ago? Why didn't you do this 10 years ago? Didn't you have the courage to do it 10 years ago? Were you tone deaf? Did you not see this was an issue 10 years ago? And Greg and I have talked about it. I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, come on, man. You know, you're winding it down now and you feel safe. You know, I mean, so we are doing it. Mm-hmm. I just wish we'd have done it earlier.
Wow, that's powerful. Commissioner Moore?
No, I have nothing to add to that except that Coach is, he may be selling himself a little short in this regard. You know, I've been a longtime observer of Coach, and what most impressed me is not the national championship Final Fours and all the success he's had on the court. It's really been about what players and former players, and more importantly, their families and their mothers say about him. You know, and you know, Donald, you can't fool a black mom. You just can't fool them. They got a sixth sense. They got a mother's sense. And they know whether you're full of you-know-what or you're being, you honestly and authentically care about their children. And I've always been impressed with respect to the relationship that Coach Cal's had with African-American families from the recruitment process to draft night. And I think that speaks to, you know, his sincerity and authenticity with respect to these issues.
Kentucky head men's basketball coach John Calipari and SIAC commissioner Gregory Moore here on the program. You missed any of that interview, check it out on Box to Row on YouTube. Will there be college football after all in the fall? The ACC seems to think so, but will they? I'll talk about it next.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs. From the game of the week feature to interviews to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row? BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls. From the Press Box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
So the ACC has come up with a plan, not a plan, but a schedule for its football season in 2020. I mean, I will continue to maintain that, in my opinion, in the fall, and I know every conference hasn't canceled. As a matter of fact, it's only been really a handful of conferences that have canceled to this point. But I'm going to continue to maintain that there's not going to be any football in the fall. My opinion, no football in the fall. Of course, ultimately, we will see how things play out. But I like what the ACC has done in terms of what it has put forth in terms of a schedule. So the 2020 scheduling model includes 11 games, 10 conference games, and then one non-conference games. All non-conference game opponents, of course, are selected by the respective school. It must be played in the home state of the ACC. So right here in the state of North Carolina, we have four ACC schools. The 11 games will be played over at least 13 weeks. It's slated to start between the week of September 7th through 12th. That's for fall sports. So you figure maybe that Thursday night, September the 10th, perhaps there's a game. And then, of course, the remainder of the schedule is going to begin on September the 12th to be played over a 13-week period with two off weeks. It's not going to be any you know, the respective divisions. The ACC has a couple of divisions, only going to be one division. And this is the other thing that this is a boss move by the ACC. Like, I look at the ACC, I look at the football. I mean, you know, let's be honest. Like, it's from top to bottom, like, it's not that good. Clemson, it's in essence Clemson and then everybody else. All right, and Clemson has been the dominant. I mean, when you're talking, I mean, when you talk about the ACC in football, you're really talking about Clemson. So Clemson's been the dominant team, national championships, in the playoff every year. So it's really about Clemson. But the boss move is that Notre Dame, in essence, joins the conference for football this fall. It's a boss move because obviously Notre Dame becomes the second best team in the quote-unquote conference, because again, the Notre Dame is not a Notre Dame is a conference member, I believe, in every sport with the exception of football. And you can understand why Notre Dame is not a member of not only the ACC, but any conference in football. Like, why would you be? You've had a schedule or a relationship with NBC. I mean, that relationship's got to be going back in excess of 10 years now. You're generating revenue from that. One of the better programs, one of the more elite programs. But not only that, in terms of name recognition, I mean, is there a bigger name recognizer than Notre Dame football, especially from an historic standpoint? So this is a boss move because not only do you have Notre Dame as part of your conference for 2020, also, the revenue that Notre Dame gets from its TV deal, more specifically with NBC, is split amongst the conference's schools. So this is a big-time move by the ACC, a big win, I think, ultimately, for the conference. I think the shame of it all is that you're not going to play any college football in 2020. I mean, I get it. The five major conferences are doing what they can in terms of trying to set schedules, trying to set protocols. It's going to be hard enough in the National Football League to have a schedule. And again, the National Football League is not under a bubble scenario. Neither is collegiate athletics. I think you can control less college students than you can professionals in an environment when we're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. So I just don't see how any football is going to be played. I just don't see how any football is going to be played. But I think it's, again, you have conferences that have canceled. I realize there's a lot of money. The SEC, at all costs, we're going to play football. No, we're not playing football. You're going to have ultimately families that are going to make decisions for student athletes. You're going to have student athletes that are going to make decisions not to play. And particularly, like, when you're talking about the SEC, you're talking about even the majority of the ACC. A lot of the schools are in either hot spots or spots that are moderate. In other words, not necessarily, at least where we stand right now. And again, things can change within a two-week period. I'm not saying that. But where we stand right now, people don't half want to social distance, don't half want to wear a mask, particularly in these areas, which are why the numbers have gone up. So I'm just trying to figure out how ultimately we're going to play. But again, boss move by the ACC with not only the schedule it has come out with, but also with the fact that that Notre Dame is going to be part of the ACC in football, for at least for 2020. Your thoughts? Hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX2ROW. Amongst the HBCUs, as it stands right now, there are two teams that could potentially play in fall of 2020. One is Hampton that plays in the Big South. Big South, as of right now, still going on with football. The other is Tennessee State out of the OVC, Tennessee State, the OVC as of right now going on with football. I thought what was interesting is that the OVC mentioned that it's going to have its predicted order of finish in August, whereas by this time it would have already had its predicted order of finish. To me, that, again, that speaks to let's see where we are in August. And I mean, really, August is here now, but I mean, it speaks to let's see where we are at that time. But as part of the HBCU Football Daily Podcast, I had a chance to catch up with Rod Reed, the head football coach at Tennessee State. And we talked about not only the expectations for the Tigers in 2020, but whether we, in fact, would even have football.
Yeah, right now we don't have two opponents for the first test. So, you know, with things that have been happening in D2, you know, Morehouse just canceled its football season the other day. So right now, you know, if I was preparing, I'd be preparing for Jacksonville State week four. But, you know, I know that Dr. Allen is working his tail off to try to get some games in where we lost those two classics. And that's, you know, stuff that's beyond our control. Anytime those games are in the hands of promoters and other, you know, third-party deals and not the two teams that are involved, you know, things like this can happen. And it's nobody's fault. You know, the COVID-19 hit and, you know, the Detroit Classic was canceled. And ultimately, the Southern Heritage was just canceled a couple of days ago. So we've got to try to figure out, you know, what we're going to do with those first two games. And if it doesn't happen, then, you know, we'll train and get ready for the game that's going to be in front of us. But at the end of the day, you know, this COVID is kind of taking over. You know, we're at its mercy right now. But hopefully we can, you know, secure an opponent for week one and week two. So we can, you know, between week one and week two. Well, right now we don't have week one, week two, and week three may be questionable. And then you're looking at Jacksonville State as a first opponent.
Yeah,
so,
tough.
You know, we gotta get it figured out here pretty soon. But I know it's in capable hands with Dr. Allen, and he'll get it taken care of.
How does not having a guy like Roland, a dynamic player that not only can catch the football, made some carries, even played a little quarterback for you a little bit, you know, does it?
It doesn't change it a whole lot. You know, we got a guy named Dayron Johnson, a freshman. He played a little last year, but he's from Springfield, Tennessee. We feel that he has some of the same capabilities that Chris Roland had. And, you know, we're really excited about, you know, getting the ball in his hands. And then Deshaun Davis is a kid out of the North Florida area. We think that's comparable to New Bowl. And then, you know, we had a couple of guys. Jatavius Harris is a transfer kid that got hurt last year to transfer from Louisville. Is this long, speedy guy, you know, out there. So we got a couple of guys out there we feel, you know, by committee can make up the gaps that we're going to lose with New Bowl and Chris Roland.
Yeah, I know, obviously, the defensively, what do you look like there? Who are some of the guys that we can look out for?
You know, defensively, I think, you know, Nick Harper Jr. Is, you know, the son of former NFL player Nick Harper. He started at corner for us last year, had a really good season. He's a preseason pick from what I just saw with this Hero Sports deal for all conference. But he had a good year last year in the secondary. He'll be one of the guys back there that we'll depend on. And, you know, at safety, Josh Green, we moved him to safety last year from corner because of injuries, and he ended up being a freshman All-American at safety. So, you know, those two guys will be back there in the secondary for us. Larry Wilhoit, if he can stay healthy in the secondary, I feel good about him. You know, at the other corner, Dom Williams, he was one of those guys that I told you got hurt and missed five or six games last year. But Dom is a transfer from Kentucky, a really good cover skill, a good closing skill on the ball. At defensive line, we're deep there. We feel like our first two defensive lines can go out there and play it without a drop-off right there.
Rod Reed, the head football coach at Tennessee State. Again, caught up with him on the HBCU Football Daily Podcast earlier in July. The OVC, as of right now, still set to play football. Got to get ready to run here on From the Press Box to Press Row. Again, if you missed the interview with Kentucky head men's basketball coach John Calipari and Greg Moore, you can check us out, Box to Row on YouTube, Box to Row on YouTube, and check out that interview. Coming up on celebrating 15 years on the air again on August 20th. Just a lot going on at Box to Row. You can keep up with us on our website, boxtorow.com. Also, subscribe to our newsletter. Comes out every Friday. Gives you all of the latest as to what is happening with respect to Box to Row. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BOXTOROW, on Facebook at BOX2ROW. And always remember to support those that support you. From the Press Box to Press Row is presented by DW Communications.